much about so easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I love Mexico. I love the Mexican people, and many, many work for me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, I, for one, commend Mexifornia for trying to do something about immigration. It's about time this country stood up to defend its sovereignty. Here, for the liberal point of view, is a 4-year-old girl.
I think people should be nice.
Shut up!
You're scaring me!
You should be scared of Mexicans!
This guy, Bean, we call him that. He's Mexican. That sounds racist, but he names himself that, and he kind of makes us call him that. We don't want to. His actual name's Bernard. It doesn't matter.
Why would I be offended by him thinking I'm Mexican? He's Mexican, right?
Yeah, he is, but you're not.
So?
And now.
Now, I don't have any Latin blood in me, but, could I ever be the star of my own telenovela, not being Latin?
Our feature presentation.
He sounds to me like a perfect candidate.
Wow.
Plus, the not speaking Spanish at all would be perfect for a telenovela beer bug.
All he really needs is an eyebrow to raise and just a really stern look at someone.
I don't think he can do either of those, though.
Really? Yeah. I feel like he's got it in him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have a lot more faith in him than I do.
I do.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning. It is the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo.
Musica, musica, musica.
Soon. I thought today would be the day we'd be going musica, musica, musica if we were going to go, right?
It would make sense.
It would make the most sense. That's when you do your format change.
How's that going to happen? Are the doors just going to be locked that day, or we're just not going to be able to get in?
Yeah, I think our key cards won't even work to get into the parking lot.
They'll just start calling people and they'll go, no, I don't know an Ellie or Kevin or a Chip.
Oh, I don't even think they'll call people.
No, I'm saying we'll call
to
say, hey, our cards aren't working.
Right.
We can't get in. And then they'll just deny our existence.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't go down like that. My guess
isn't it always, though, be?
No, my guess is what'll happen is they'll call us in after the show, probably on a Friday, and they'll say, you got a really long weekend ahead of you, you guys. I mean, really, like, really enjoy it.
That's the good news.
The good news is, mm-hmm. Yeah, the good news is no rush to get back from Vegas this weekend, Kevin, because we don't need you on Monday, unless you can suddenly learn how to speak Spanish between now and then.
Well, but I think you know my skills.
Yeah.
My skills of speaking are honed.
Yes. I mean, you have already mastered English. That's
Thank
for
you,
sure.
Bean. Thank you.
So, anyway, it could happen, you guys. We joke. We joke because it's true, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's a thing that I think you guys will enjoy. I hate massages. Hate them. Mm-hmm. Don't like people to touch me. Mm-hmm. Don't like being that close to people. What are your thoughts on massages?
I don't love them. Mm-hmm. No, everyone will find that shocking.
really?
Yeah.
Because murder.
And it seems like whenever the massage therapist says, what area should I focus on? And I always say, oh, my upper back, my neck, and my head. That's what I want. Okay, great. So calves? Like I feel like they're not listening. And just rub my head. That's all I want.
Well, it sounds like you're going to the wrong massage therapist then if they can't follow directions. I mean, I think the point is you're supposed to go and you're supposed to get relief from whatever area is ailing you.
Yeah.
So how about you, Kevin? You like a massage?
I didn't until I hurt my back. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Since I hurt my back, yes.
So now you like it just because you know it's going to make you feel better afterwards.
Right.
How do you feel about having that person so intimately rubbing your skin with his hands or her hands, as the case may be?
Plus happy ending.
Oh, you do get
well,
so
every
I wasn't, time?
Yeah.
Wow. I wasn't factoring in the happy ending. That's a whole different thing.
Okay.
But
I thought
it doesn't,
that's what a massage was.
It doesn't wig you out to have a stranger be all up in your business?
It did at first, but it's not that terrible. It's just somebody else being really kind to your body without making you feel better, you know?
Oh,
okay.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Well, here's Dorothy Stein, who is nicknamed Dr. Dot. She is called that. She is a celebrity massage therapist, and she's from New Jersey, and she's getting a little bit of acclaim right now. She massages lots of famous people, including Simon Cowell and Sting and quite a few others. But she does her massage a little bit differently because she has what she says is a patented, and I'd love to see the patent on this, bite method. She bites you. In addition to massaging you. In other words, part of the massage is with her teeth.
No.
A journalist who wrote this story for the Daily Mail, her name is Elena Pogosian. She said she visited Dr. Dot for one of her renowned massages with the bite method. She said, "I was a little apprehensive about being getting bitten by a woman I've never met. I didn't want to walk into some sort of 50 Shades of Grey scene." She first made her forays into therapeutic biting at the age of 5, she says, encouraged by her hippie mom. She wanted me to massage her, but my hands weren't strong enough, so she kept on just saying, "Bite me," and I've been doing it this way my whole life.
What? Her mom said, "You can't push hard enough, bite me?"
Bite me, yes.
What?
Yes. Your parents said, "Bite me," many times to you, but they didn't mean it like this at all, right?
I mean, literal.
She said, "Naturally, I asked the client if they want it after, and then before adding any oil, I bite the whole back up and down in a very fluid motion, bit by bit, avoiding any bones. I do the neck and shoulders and sometimes the glutes, too. I take big bites, obviously not firm enough to break the skin, but firm and deep enough to grab and tenderize the back muscles, warming them up for the real rub down that follows."
That's I've not never heard as any... a happy ending as I'm used to with
no,
biting.
No, you don't want teeth anywhere near your happy ending. "I've never heard anyone doing it. It's actually divine for the client as it's a sensation they've never experienced before. They're marching into the unknown and putting their trust into me." The journalist who wrote the story was certainly surprised how much she enjoyed it. She said, "It felt like someone biting my back. There's literally no other way to explain it, but it felt good. I'll never forget the experience because it's not every day I have a woman biting my back or my neck or playing with my feet or biting my butt."
Okay.
She's a butt biter.
She bites
whatever, I guess.
Wow.
She usually starts her sessions with biting. She describes it as an appetizer to the full meal. She bites the back and the buttocks before rubbing oil on their skin and moving on to a more traditional massage. And she is currently writing a memoir of her experience and the many famous people she has bitten. Right?
No. Mm-mm. No okay. is right, yeah. No.
So even if we're on the fence about someone's hands, we're all in agreement that maybe not someone's mouth.
I feel like if someone is biting my butt, so I've made some bad decisions someplace. I need to reconsider my life choices.
Is that a classic, "This is no way to live a life"
right.
moment for you?
I don't get that.
Well, there's Dorothy Stein, you guys. Dr. Dot, if you're in New Jersey, you're in the mood to get bitten. There's your lady.
That's crazy. What about her biting random people?
Yeah, what's going on?
Clean and whatnot.
Well, that's the thing. Ugh. What if something happens? Someone jerks unexpectedly, and then you drew blood, and then oh god, now what? Yeah, this is just
doesn't
no.
seem.
She's a cannibal, isn't she?
She might be.
She's just tenderizing you.
Dot's a freak.
Dot is a freak. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
It is a huge honor. But I have to balance that against my need not to do it.
Dr. Drew is on the program today like he is on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Thursdays, Jim Rome is here. We're talking sports with him. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have the top 5 Star Wars characters of all time. Yesterday, I saw this list. I think it was published maybe a year ago, you said, mm-hmm. Allie? Top 5 Star Wars characters, and it's straight bogus.
Yeah.
It's not right.
I think everybody kind of has a top 5, and they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah, that's what I
would
think.
Was the problem just that you were arguing with the order that they were in? Like, you would have put a different 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or was your problem with the characters that were in the top 5?
Both.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
Both.
Controversy.
Yeah. Also, we have a brand new song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Mm. Now we're going to talk to Anthony Kiedis today. It's an exciting time. Actual new music for our radio station doesn't happen all that often. It seems to have really been coming fast and furious. So very happy about that. And we've got your tickets for the Weenie Roast as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Again, a reminder, 7 o'clock this morning, brand new music from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, their new song called Dark Necessities, and we'll have Anthony Kiedis himself from the band to tell us all about it at the same time. That's going to be pretty cool. Hey, Ralph Garman.
I got such dark necessities. Put them in the drawer with the rest of these.
Oh, you've already heard
you've
it?
Heard it?
That's great.
Wow, I didn't know. Sounds good.
Yeah, right?
But we'll be playing it a lot.
Here's a shock. You guys are all wrong.
That is a shock.
Yeah, it is.
Because usually we're right on.
Massages.
I said I liked them.
You were like,
First, I didn't like it, but then I said, okay, now I'm okay now so much.
Kevin likes them for medicinal reasons, though. It sounds like you enjoy them for other reasons.
All the time, yes, please, constantly, yes, forever.
But it's strangers touching you.
But not everybody is scared out of their mind of that bean.
Everybody should be.
Why?
Why?
Creeped out by strangers
but you know
touching
what?
You.
You're not on a
intimately.
Subway and some guy just starts rubbing you. These people are trained. They have a skill.
Which subway is that, Ralph? Because I need to.
It's the Red Line, actually. Oh, okay. Downtown. This is not just random strangers, Bean. These are people who are good at what they do.
No,
and
I don't
it's
like
bliss.
It.
It's actual bliss. You go into ecstasy.
Oh, okay.
For whatever
physical benefits, whatever enjoyment I might get out of it, there's no way it would be enough to outweigh how uncomfortable I would feel with having some creepy guy or gal.
Yeah, I don't think he could ever relax enough to enjoy.
I can never relax.
Why are they creepy?
Yeah, why are they? Exactly.
You're the creepiest person in the world
in this scenario.
Because they're rubbing a stranger. That's why.
Yeah, it's on them, Kevin.
It's on them. Thank you, Allie. I don't want to hang out with somebody who wants to rub a stranger. Wow.
You know it's their job, right?
They get training?
Mm-hmm.
So why are they creepy?
I just explained, because they're rubbing a stranger. That's why.
Okay, how about a proctologist? Is he creepy?
He's saving lives, man.
Oh, is he? I'd much rather deal with somebody rubbing my back than someone who's got a miner's hat on with one of those lights and they're going spelunking.
Right. And I don't enjoy that either. But at least that's 5 seconds every 3 years.
But aren't they creepy if they're doing that?
No, I think there's a medicinal. I think the medicinal benefit of that outweighs the creepiness.
I don't understand.
And they're not enjoying it.
You can enjoy it or not enjoy it.
Trust me, masseurs and masseuses aren't enjoying it either. It's their job. They're like, oh, giant gnarly man, get on my table so I can rub you. They're not licking their chops when they see you coming into the
Isn't
spa, Bean.
Funny
trust
that,
me.
That Bean sees zero creepiness in himself, but puts that on them. Like, all of them are creepy?
Perfectly fine people doing their jobs.
Right. You're insane.
You go ahead and enjoy it, Ralph.
Oh.
Would you let someone bite you, like this lady?
Yeah, that sounded great.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, Ralph.
I got to see Dr. Dot.
Now, do you think
put a little barbecue sauce on my back?
Let her go to town.
Go for it, Dot.
Do you say that because you think it would feel good?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you never been intimate with someone when there's been nibbling and biting involved?
Sure, but that's not some random lady named Dot.
But does it feel good?
Yes.
Well, then extrapolate that over to this experience.
I don't want Dot to make me feel good.
What?
Allie doesn't want to have lady feelings.
Dot is just trying to help you.
Right.
But I don't.
She's just trying to.
Dot! No. No, Dot.
Why are you afraid of Dot?
I don't know. Let me see a picture of Dot before I make my final decision.
Here's the thing. You people are equating massages with some sort of erotic, intimate act or something.
You said, does it feel good when you're nibbling? Yeah, because that's
the pure physical sensation of that.
Well, because there's stuff behind it. You know that's leading to something.
No, separate the stuff behind it, the emotions of it. Just the fear physical sensation is pleasant.
Because I know it's going to lead to more pleasantness. It's not going to lead to,
No, the physical reaction is in and of itself what it is. It doesn't matter what the scenario is. It may be more important or more significant when there's emotions behind it, but you can't change the fact that your body reacts in a positive way to the physical stimulus.
I sort of have a boner.
My body would recoil from Dot and her vampire teeth. Allie, I just emailed you the photos if you want to see Dot. She looks like a porn actress.
All right, keep going.
There's a shot of her in a nurse's outfit that I think it might change your mind.
Please hold. How's this for the listeners?
It's good.
Pretty good?
If you go to get a pedicure and they massage your feet, is that creepy? Is that a bad thing?
Oh, no, I love that.
Get out! Get out of the room!
It's the best!
Get out of the room!
You're not making any sense.
How is that not creepy, having some stranger rub your feet then in your world?
I hate that even more. I would hate that even more than rubbing my back or my shoulders or whatever.
Here's the thing about
Asperger's syndrome, ever.
They have an issue with physical contact.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know what porns you're watching, Bean, but... No.
She's not a porn actress at all.
No.
The Aspergians are not huge fans of physical contact.
Oh, and that bottom picture is not recent. Come on, lady.
So Bean would just be rocking in the corner of the yeah. room. You know, he would not be enjoying
I've seen
it.
Him when somebody at an event comes up and hugs him, and he's like,
he gets very stiff.
Stop.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what
to
do.
He waits for the ground to open up and swallow him whole.
He can't take it.
it's not a good
thing. So if
thing.
You're going to the weenie room.
Hugs aplenty.
Loves to be hugged.
He needs him some hugs.
He needs a hug.
They're therapeutic, and he loves them. And bite like him a little bit, too, while you're hugging him.
We should move on, I think. I think that's enough.
Niggle.
What? I'm sorry? Again, please?
What? I heard nickel.
I didn't.
I hope.
Did ya?
Yep.
Nibble.
Nibble.
Oh.
Nibble. Oh,
okay. I see.
On his shoulder while you're hugging him. Or whatever's nearby.
Whatever
body part. Just.
But he does love a hug. And hold on just a little too long. It means more to him.
It does. He likes a lingering hug.
Right.
Yeah, so. Just when you think it's enough,
mm-hmm.
five more seconds.
Give him that
more.
Little
yeah.
extra.
Give
right.
him 110% when it
he
comes
loves
to
that.
The hug.
And
AC/DC is playing Belgium on May 16th with their temporary lead singer, Axl Rose, to 3,000 less fans. I was wondering if this was going to happen. The newspaper there says that many ticket holders demanded refunds for the concert once they heard that Axl was going to be the new lead singer.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I would.
You would?
If you're going to see
AC/DC? If I bought a ticket to AC/DC, yeah.
And Axl was going to sing lead, you would say, oh, that's a deal breaker?
Yes, absolutely.
I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little more excited. Something different.
Right. It's a cool combination of something new and something you're familiar
with.
What
if he hugged you?
What if Axl Rose hugged you and then nibbled on you? Just a little, just the earlobe, just nippled your earlobe while he was rubbing his cornrows.
Kevin, if you were going to see Foo Fighters at the Forum tonight.
Different.
No, it's not, though. If you're going to see Foo Fighters and they said that instead Anthony Kiedis was going to be singing all the Foo Fighters songs, would you still go?
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, because it sounds...
Really?
Yeah,
and
it's like a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing, too.
I think it would be
not only did I see Foo's one time, but Anthony Kiedis was the lead singer.
That's karaoke.
All right. Okay.
Boy, you are a bushel of fun. You're a basket of joy. You are.
It's not AC/DC.
All right, take it easy.
That's all I'm saying.
No one's it's not AC/DC.
But your option is not to see anything or mm-hmm. see AC/DC with Axl Rose singing live.
I'm with the 3,000 people who got the refunds.
7,000 actually.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. And they all went out and got a massage together. All 7,000 of them.
Fair.
Yeah. So they're not beans.
So if you're going to the weenie roast.
Hug beans,
hug
what we're
bean.
Saying.
That's the point.
And massage him a little bit.
Sure.
You probably could use a little. Go behind him and just rub his shoulders
he's
and his
tense,
neck.
You can tell.
Oh,
he's
my
very
God,
tense.
I'm nervous.
Just loosen him up. And Allie, too. Grab Allie and just massage her back
okay.
and her neck and her shoulders.
And both of them like it to be a surprise. They don't want to see it coming.
No.
So come up behind them.
They don't like to give them their heads about it.
Right,
they want it to be a spontaneous
think about
moment.
It too much.
Right. Just let it happen organically. Right. They're both very free in that way.
That's what we're famous for.
Holy crap.
We're really just anything goes kind of people.
We too should just be just sealed in lacquer and put away. Today's celebrity birthdays. Danielle Fishel. We love Danielle Fishel around here. One of our favorites. 35 years old today. Henry Cavill, Superman, is 33. Adele is 28 years old today.
Adele.
Chris Brown turns 27. And model Hannah Davis celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as Beat.
We have new music at the top of the hour in about 20 minutes.
From Lifehouse? Or no, somebody else.
From the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Okay, all right, that's good.
World premiere, top of the hour. Then we're going to talk to Anthony Kiedis as well here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Very excited. Jim Rome later on today, also Dr. Drew Pinsky as well. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico. Happy Cinco de Mayo to the least Mexican person I know. How are you?
What's up?
It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve. Hit it, Steve. Make Dave stop what he's doing and hit it, Steve.
It's the Internet Roundup.
I am so fascinated with this video. Kevin, we've talked about a lot of crazy-ass sports
yes.
on this show before. There are lots of things that people do. I've never seen play-by-play for a marble race before.
I've never seen a marble race, let alone play-by-play for it.
Yeah. Are these a thing, Dave? Do you know anything about marble races? Where do they come from?
Nothing. I know nothing about these.
This is in
the
sand.
Who plays the marbles?
It's 750 feet, and this guy is doing play-by-play for the entirety of about a dozen marbles racing down a hill. And I'm sorry, it's so captivating. Check it out.
White getting a little bit of pressure there from the red. They're all stacking up in this early part of the course. Fairly straight so far. A bit slow on this section. Now it widens up just slightly as they go through that dip.
I love it so much. Got a couple of Star Wars videos for you on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup this week. This one is a song about Luke Skywalker done in the style of the smash Broadway hit Hamilton.
Vader threw the Emperor into the Death Star's power core, haunted by all of the pain causing his demise. Wanted at the end to see his son with his own eyes. The mask off his face, Luke had found the true man. With the Force, Luke, you had saved Anakin.
They do a nice job with that. You'll like that one. Kylo Ren Outtakes is what it's called. This is the Oralnauts people. What they do is they overdub their own dialogue into a movie. So they
take my favorite. Yeah.
This is really, really good. They've taken Adam Driver's character. You know, he's Kylo Ren in the Star Wars Force Awakens with the mask on, and it's a very different conversation the way they've made it.
What kind of product do you use in your hair? Is that a gel or a cream?
I won't have you question my methods.
No, no. You misunderstand me. Your hair, it's smooth yet hard, like a shell, like a big red shell.
I want them to re-release A Force Awakens in theater.
The whole thing.
And do the whole movie like that.
Because you're watching
great.
Kylo Ren on the screen, so that's why it's so funny.
So funny. This is the most impressive little kid I can remember seeing on the Roundup in a long time. She is 3 years old, and she is, and I guess because her dad is, a super Led Zeppelin fan. So he's playing Led Zeppelin songs on his guitar, and this three-year-old can name any Led Zeppelin song in like 2 seconds. It's crazy.
Okay. How about?
It's Back Dog.
Okay.
Oh, I love her.
It's she's Black Dog, not Back Dog, dummy.
She's three.
Oh, Dave.
She's
3 years old.
Back Dog.
It's not Back Dog.
She's so cute.
And she goes through like 20 Led Zeppelin songs. It's super impressive. Well, we've had some videos lately of we had the lesbians seeing penises for the first time. We had gay guys seeing vaginas for the first time. This is a new one. This is women seeing an uncircumcised penis, Dave, for the first time. All right, check this
obviously
out.
Obviously, he's wow,
like sashimi. You know what I mean?
It looks a little bit like a nipple or an elephant trunk. This guy is ready for winter.
Yeah, he's like, what's up? He's like trying to get out, but he can't because he has so much skin around him.
Oh, he could get out.
Oh, my.
Wow. That's the grossest thing you've ever said.
Game of Thrones is back. This is Funny or Die's Jonathan. This time he's got in the hairdresser salon, he's got Rachel Bloom, who we love so much from her Crazy Ex-Girlfriend show, and they're talking about this week's episode of Game of Thrones.
Then, at the end, Jon Snow is giving me full-on Jesus post-crucifixion realness, but like...
Honestly, that gave me, like, the guiltiest boner I have ever had, other than that gay rape scene at the end of Outlander.
Wait, I don't watch Outlander.
So this, like, wife time travels to 1700, and the great-great-great-great-grandfather of her 1940s husband rapes her 1700s husband in the... In the...
That's a show?
Yeah.
I'm sure Ralph knew about the 1990 version of Captain America, the movie that was made about, yes, Captain America, the character we know and love today. It was so bad it was never released, but Honest Trailers got a hold of it.
You thought Marvel's 1979 Captain America was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. Stare at Captain America's rubber ears and wonder, why does Captain America have rubber ears? Didn't they just, you know, cut a hole for the actor's human ears? Thrill as his super strength and shield-throwing powers return. Plus, things you never thought you'd see the captain do, like run away on a little bike, hide, and pretend to be nauseous so he can steal someone's car.
It is shocking how bad that movie looks,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's great.
that Marvel ever allowed that to happen.
Gwen Stefani is making the rounds with a new album getting ready to come out. She was on the Stephen Colbert show last week, and Stephen Colbert went backstage before the show and had an issue with how she spells bananas in her song. And then Gwen dropped some serious knowledge about bananas on Stephen Colbert.
Did you know that we eat only one species of banana, almost exclusively? It used to be the cultivar known as the Gros Michel, but it was almost wiped out by a fungus, so now we only eat the Cavendish, which itself is in danger of going extinct due to a similar fungus.
I knew some of that stuff.
Drop the mic. Chip, let's skip the next one and get right to Channing Tatum. Ali, I'm curious from you. What was your impression of Channing Tatum before you saw this video that he did?
He's funny and kind and lovable.
Mm-hmm. Well, now he's all those things times 100 because he sat down and did an interview with a lady who has autism. She is a nonverbal autistic woman, and she's trying to do a talk show. She wants to interview people and do an internet talk show. And Channing Tatum is her first guest. So I guess it's like a Stephen Hawking situation where she can type in her questions and then hit a button and they come out of the iPad or whatever.
Right.
And Channing is just adorable, and she's so funny, and it really does look like a love connection. Check out these two.
How about that, Channing? Would you date a 21-year-old person with autism?
Yes, if I got permission from my wife.
All right, I've got my lawyers working on your divorce papers as we speak.
She was funny.
She was really funny. They're so cute together, those two. And finally, in a long line of kids coming out of anesthesia, this may be the best one yet.
Yeah.
What did he have? A broken arm, right, Dave?
Yeah, you get it placed. So what does that mean? Put back, right? Put back in. You had to place his shoulder, probably?
I'm not going to ask Dave any more questions. No. So he has a broken arm, and he's coming out of anesthesia. And we've seen a lot of these videos where people just start saying crazy things. And this kid is nonstop for like 10 minutes. His mom is begging him to stop talking, but he won't. Please meet Brandon.
Rocco, my boy, you know Rocco over in Dubai?
Over in Dubai?
Rocco was like, yo, bro. And I was like, yo, Rocco, go sack him. And Rocco was like, tss, and I was like, yo, Rocco, you get that ass, man!
It's pretty great, you guys. You can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com or kevinabean.com. It's a brand new Kevin Abean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Oh! It's 6:55.
That means we're about 5 minutes away from a brand new song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. First, here's our friend Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Woo! It's a good song.
I like it.
It's funky, Ralph. You're going to love it.
I heard it. It's funky.
I love it. Ralph's all about the funk.
I heard it. It's funky. It's juicy. It's all those good things.
All right.
Rolling Stones are ticked off at Donald Trump.
Well,
they've told him numerous times, stop using our music at your rallies. But he did it again Tuesday night.
This happens so often.
Right after the presumptive Republican presidential nominee won the Indiana primary, he gave a speech. And Start Me Up played throughout the hall and on international television, where the Stones happened to catch it. They fired off a strongly worded letter and requested that he cease all use immediately. Now, Trump has received many cease and desist letters from many artists. No one wants him to use their music, and he usually complies, but he has not complied yet with the Stones. He must really like the Stones. They're the greatest rock band ever. I love them. Jumping Jack Flash. That's me. So, no word on whether he will respond to their strongly worded letter or not.
There's got to be Toby Keith or Hank Williams Jr. or somebody who would be like really into Trump.
I'm sure Ted Nugent would give him his entire catalog.
Right? Yeah.
Sure, Cat Scratch Fever is the only song anybody knows, but still, the whole catalog would be at his disposal.
What do I know about it? All I know is what's on the internet.
Right?
Right.
Janet Jackson's pregnant.
What?
Janet Jackson is pregnant.
Okay.
She'll be 50 on May 16th, by the way. Not
She's
ideal.
She's never had a kid before, has she?
I do not believe so. This will be the first child for Janet and her husband, Wisdom.
I'm sorry?
Her husband.
You heard me.
Wisdom?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Wisdom Almana.
Huh.
They got married back in 2012. Didn't tell anyone until 2013. And now she's pregnant, or maybe she's had two kids. We don't know. She delays her news. But they have just postponed the second leg of her Unbreakable tour.
She's on tour?
Yes. Sure, Kevin. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
It was weird because when she postponed the first leg, she said it was because she wanted to go start a family.
Right.
Not because she was pregnant and couldn't perform. She wanted to go start a family. So basically she canceled shows so she and Wissam could bone.
Yes.
Or was she pregnant then?
Ah! Conspiracy theory alley.
No, I just think you don't cancel
heroin,
a tour because you want to bone.
And
you cancel
murder.
A tour because you're pregnant.
Right.
That kid could be 11 right now, like Ralph said. Who the hell knows what's going on with Janet Jackson?
You can't trust her for a minute. Let me give you something, people, because you're nice and you're listening to our show. How about an advanced screening of a very cool movie that's coming out on May 13? You, however, will get to see it on May 11th at the special K-Rock advanced screening of Money Monster.
Yay!
It's at the Arclight in Hollywood, one of my favorite places to see a movie. George Clooney stars, Julia Roberts co-stars, also directed by Jodie Foster. No slouch right there. Story of a TV personality slash stock investor, Wall Street guru type, and someone invests in a stock that he was touting, and things went south, and he is not pleased about it, so he takes him hostage live on television, which leads us to a big conspiracy about why the stock tanked, and it's all very thrilling and intricate. Look at Kevin. His eyes just glazed right over.
Can't wait.
Money Monster. You want to see it early? Give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five people through with that phone number get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Money Monster. You know, for the most part, I think Clooney, what's cool about him is he does a lot of movies that are obviously very entertaining, but he does a lot of things that have substance, stuff that has stuff going on in it, whether it's comments about the news media or politics or military complex.
It's got meat.
Yeah. It's got stuff. Got stuff in it.
Because he's a goddamn liberal force and his Hollywood opinions down the throats of right-thinking Americans.
Thanks, Obama.
Right?
Can't wait for Obama to go back to Kenya. Today's celebrity birthdays. Danielle Fishel, we love her. Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World. Boy Meets Girl in World.
Right.
35 years old today. Henry Cavill, you know him as Superman. Man of Steel.
Must save Martha. Why'd you say that? Why'd you say that name?
Really? Me too? Now we're buddies. Ugh, that movie. Adele's 28.
Okay,
yeah, Adele's 28 years old. Chris Brown is 27. And Hannah Davis, the model, is 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
New Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What's up with that?
How about that?
Yeah.
That's outstanding, by the way.
That bass is boner.
I'm sorry?
It gave me a bass boner.
Bass boner.
Yes.
Yeah, that is some funky stuff. That is, as we mentioned when we started it, that is for the first time in 5 years, we have brand new music from the Red Hot Chili Peppers from their forthcoming album called The Getaway, coming out on June 17th. The man singing on that song is our old friend Anthony Kiedis, who joins us on the phone right now. Anthony.
Kevin.
Welcome, Bain. Sir. How are you?
Bass boner, nice to see you all.
Good to see you.
What was it like hearing that song over the telephone, which is exactly the way you always envisioned you'd hear it, right?
You know what? I have the hugest smile on my face because I sort of pictured listening to it on the radio, and I don't know, it still makes me happy.
Well, we're going to play it every hour all day today, so just get near K-Rock at the top of the hour, and you'll get a chance to hear it. So congratulations. Welcome back. Why did it take so long? Is that a dumb question? Because you guys are all busy and doing lots of things. 5 years seems like a long time, even for you guys between records.
Was it 5 years?
Yeah, that's what they're telling us.
Yeah, well, no, we had an unusually difficult experience making this record where we wrote 20 to 30 songs and it was all ready to go and we thought it was happening. And then Flea went snowboarding and broke his arm real bad, which was a bit of a setback for the bass boner. So we rethought everything and then we didn't have a producer and we were just sort of lost in space with all these songs. And lo and behold, it was meant to be, as these things can be. And when all the dust settled, Brian Burton, a.k.a. a.k.a. Danger Mouse, emerged and said, let's go make a record. And we're like, great, we have all these songs. And he's like, leave those there. Let's go write new songs in the studio.
Oh, wow.
So the process began over again.
But he hadn't listened to the 20 to 30 songs that you had?
He had, but he has very specific Brian taste.
All right.
And he just wanted to see what would happen when we got in the studio and started something fresh.
So how many of the 20 to 30 songs are on the album?
I'm guessing that 10 of them are new out of the...
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, 14 that are on the record.
So he knows what he's doing.
He just knows what he likes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So was your initial reaction, Anthony, to push back to that idea? You're like, look, we're a band who's been around for a long time. We know how to write songs. We've already done that part. Or did you just trust him because of his track record?
Well, initially there was a pushback. Initially there was an affinity and a marriage to all of these other songs. But the only way that we saw this working was to have trust in him and to kind of get rid of our old ideas and our old way of doing things and say, if this is going to work, we have to just throw ourselves off the cliff.
Fascinating.
And see what happens.
The thing that always surprises me whenever I hear about an artist writing songs in the studio is how much pressure there must be on the lyricist to come up with something in a few days that is going to last for the rest of his life. Did you feel that when you were rushing these songs, if that's how it felt?
Thank you for noticing. You know what? The pressure is kind of the best sometimes. And especially when you have Flea and Josh and Chad leaving the studio one day with something brand new and beautiful and magical and melodic and just touching, and then they send it to you and they're like, okay, you know, write lyrics and come sing this tomorrow. You know, now it's on. You have no choice.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, get down inside yourself and feel what you're feeling and think what you're thinking and be what you're being and just let it flow. And by the way, sometimes you strike out miserably. I would show up and I would say, I think I've got it. And I would do it, and Brian would be like, that's not really working, but let's try this other thing.
A lot of rejection from Brian.
Yeah, Brian, come on.
But then there are the days that you show up and it just all works.
Yeah.
And then you
That's the magic. You know, yeah. I mean, that's the magic of rock and roll, and that's the magic of the chemistry that your band has from all these years that have been together and the trust in one another. And it sounds like a great a marriage made in heaven with Brian. This is the voice of Anthony Kiedis here on the Kevin Bean Show, of course, from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We just debuted their brand new song for you. We'll be playing it again in a few minutes. It's called Dark Necessities. The album is coming out on June 17th. I just went to your website through Warner Brothers Records of the album called The Getaway, and I'm taking a look at this album cover. We got to tweet this out. This is insane what you put on the cover of this record. Can you please describe and explain it for us, Anthony?
Wait, why do you call that insane?
Well, I don't know. It's a little girl walking down a street with a bear and a raccoon. That's why.
I don't know. Normally we get a little bit more highbrow artsy, and this just felt extremely warm and human, even though it's animals. It felt human, and it's also us. You know, that's Chad as the bear and Josh is the girl, and Flea is the raccoon, and me is the funny little raven out front.
What just happened?
The raccoon can play a mean bass. I'll tell you that.
Here's what I love about Anthony. That sentence that just came out of his mouth makes sense to this man.
Wait, does it make sense to anybody else?
Oh, no.
No, it does. It does.
Oh, no. Flea's definitely a raccoon. No, we're with you, Anthony. That sounds great. June 17th, you guys are hitting the road big time. You're playing all sorts of festivals, not just headlining Lollapalooza, but you're headlining festivals in Canada and Italy. You're going all over the world. How are you feeling? You guys excited about getting back out there?
Very excited. Very excited to have a lot of new songs to play. You know, this being our second record with Josh, it feels a lot more fulfilling and... Mm-hmm. It's always great to have a job as a musician. It's great to be in this band. We love seeing the world, but to have all of these new songs at our disposal for live shows makes it feel like, let's go. Let's go. We have a mission now.
Some bands live sort of in the studio and for the studio, and then they go out and tour, but they really want to get back into the studio. Is that the same with you, or are you the opposite?
I love the cycle.
Both.
Love the cycle. It's, you know, you do this incredible thing in the studio, then you go practice and rehearse and make sure that you can play this stuff live. Then you go see the world, you know, everywhere, from Asia to South America to Europe and Eastern Europe and hopefully the Middle East and Africa and, you know, you give this music life to people far, far away that it means something to, and you kind of go have this communal experience together. And then when you just can't take it for another day and you're beat and you're haggard and you're tired and you want to collapse, you come home and gather some new life experience, start writing a little bit. You know, Flea sits down at the piano and says, "Hey, I have these chords. You know, what do you think of these chords?" And I'm like, I hear a melody in there. And then you start it all over again.
And Danger Mouse goes, "Nope."
Well, it's not a bad way to make a living, Anthony. 1 week from Saturday, we're going to see you guys in person again at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. You're going to help us say goodbye the last ever Weenie Roast down there at the Irvine Amphitheater. I bet you guys have played a lot of shows there throughout your career.
We have. We were talking about that at band practice yesterday. And isn't it just the last show period for Irvine Meadows?
No, they're going through the summer.
Oh, they're going through the summer.
Yeah. And then it's all, they're tearing it all down for folks who haven't heard to put up houses, because that's what we need. But, man, you know, we've done 23 out of the 24 Weenie Roasts have been down at that venue. So, I mean, it really has been our summertime home away from home. We are so sad to lose that, you know, especially a couple years after we lost the Gibson, where we always did the acoustic Christmas. I mean, it's just crazy to see these venues going dark.
So where will you go from here?
We're going to play
your
houses.
My house, that's fine.
Your house, okay.
Well, we couldn't have been more excited when we made the announcement that you guys were headlining the K-Rock Weenie Roast this year. And, of course, it sold out in a second with lots of money raised for lots of great charities. And yeah, I mean, there's no better band to spend a sunny summer afternoon than with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We're so psyched to see you guys. And congratulations on the new song and the new record, Anthony. We love it.
Thanks for the support. I look forward to seeing you. Let's go Weenie Roast.
You can also download the song at thegetaway.warnerbrothersrecords.com. Brothers is spelled B-R-O-S. But you can go there right now and download the song for yourself. Thank you, Anthony.
Anthony, have a great day, sir.
Yeah,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
A lot of fun talking to Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers minutes ago. If you missed their new song, it's really good. And we'll play it for you again coming up at 8 o'clock. Also, Jim Rome will join us to talk sports. First, though, it's been a while, Ralph, since we've had to talk down Kevin. But he, you know, Kevin doesn't get outraged by much.
Well, he doesn't really understand much. How dare you?
If he understood much more,
I think he'd be angrier more.
Like, I feel like if you're living in America today and you're not outraged, you're just not paying attention. But
right.
Nothing bothers Kevin until yesterday on Star Wars Day, and now he won't shut up about this list.
He's drawn the line.
Yep. This isn't even a new list.
It's a year old. He's planting his feet and taking a stand.
Finally, something's important enough for Kevin to get upset about.
That's right.
Rolling Stone magazine published retweeted yesterday the 50 best Star Wars characters.
Wow.
50 best in order.
50. In order of greatness?
Yes. In order of greatness.
Well,
so I thought we would try to come up with our top five, because I don't think it'll match their top five. I don't think it may be even close.
And does it matter if it doesn't match their top five?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ralph.
Listen to this guy. There's a list about everything in the world. Needs to have everything ranked. His favorite. He has a list of his top five favorite lists. That's how deep it goes. Now, when someone else cares,
it
doesn't matter what the rank is, the order is.
No, I was just asking. I just want to know what our parameters were. No one cares about lists more than you.
And things in order.
Right.
That is true. Okay. So you're saying we need a better, more comprehensive, more correct list.
We need a definitive list.
Okay. Of the greatest Star Wars characters of all time. Okay.
The top five.
Let's go around the room. I think this would be a great way to start before we hear what Rolling Stone says. Let's go around the room. Who's the obvious number one?
Darth Vader.
Biggs Starlighter. Dark Lighter. Biggs Dark Lighter.
It's got to be Darth Vader.
Fighter. I agree.
Salacious
Crumb is number two.
Chip just loves all the Ewoks. She's got Ewok at 1 through 5.
I agree. Darth Vader is Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
He's got to be number one, right?
He's got to be number one on the Rolling Stone list, of course, yeah.
He's not.
He's got to be number one.
He's got to
be number one.
But he's not number one.
Well,
but
he must be.
That is ridiculous.
That it's not a list of the 50 best Star Wars characters.
Right,
what's the list of?
I'm saying.
Number one has to be Luke Skywalker.
No.
Because he's the center of the story that is everything about everything.
Luke Skywalker is not in the top five.
All right, now I will murder
That's
you.
That's what I'm saying. That
no,
was my point.
I'm going to murder you, not Rolling Stone.
I didn't write it.
Kill the messenger. That's my motto. Not in the top five.
Not in the top five.
Luke Skywalker.
Correct.
It's his story.
Luke Skywalker is six. He's sixth. Not in the top five.
Behind.
You Well, how do you want to do this? You want me to read the list, or do you want to come up with your own? Because I would start with Darth Vader first.
Absolutely.
And maybe Luke Skywalker second.
Oh, I'd Han Solo second.
Okay, I can see that.
And then Uncle Owen. Right?
See, now you're not taking this seriously. I don't even want to talk to you because you're not taking this seriously.
Dean is not taking the list seriously.
That's right.
No, I am.
No, you're not. No, you're no longer in the conversation.
Who's number one on their list, Kevin?
Han Solo.
Nah, he's... No.
No.
Darth is number one.
He's top five, obviously, yes. But he's not number one.
He's number one on this
he's
list.
He's not number one.
That's insane, right?
That is insane.
That's what I'm saying.
It's so insane that he's number one.
We'll take your calls, too. 1-800-520-1067 if you have an idea of who should be in the top five. They have... Number one, Han Solo. Hmm. Number two, Darth Vader.
Reverse that.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Solo can't even be number two.
Oh, sure he can.
No, he can't.
Who's your number two?
Two would obviously be Luke Skywalker.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I'm telling you,
he's the center of the Star Wars universe, even more so than Darth Vader, I'll have you know. It all revolves around him on every level.
It's a story about Luke.
But he's not the best. These are the best characters. It's not the best.
He is the best. He's
he's not the best. I'm putting Yoda over Luke.
No.
Yeah.
Yoda's an ancillary little gimmicky thing that they had to throw in there. Why don't you make Ben number two then if you want?
What are you talking about? Yoda is a great character.
Absolutely. I don't even know what Ralph's doing.
But he's not quintessential. He's not the linchpin of the Star Wars universe like Luke Skywalker is.
You want to have your head explode? Who's number three on the Rolling Stone list?
Boba Fett.
Oh, come on now.
That's what I'm saying. I read that. I was like,
might as well just make it Lando Calrissian then.
Are you kidding me?
Boba Fett would be ahead of Yoda then, would be ahead of Luke Skywalker, would be ahead of Princess Leia.
Chewie, R2-D2, everyone.
Ralph, Lando Calrissian is number nine.
Well, he's a top tenner for sure. Where's Bib Fortuna? Where's Bib Fortuna?
All right, here's their list. Here's their top five. Han Solo, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, Yoda, Princess Leia.
Luke's not in the top five.
Correct.
See, I have to boycott now.
Same.
Now I'm boycotting.
That's why I was upset. I was like,
I don't know what I'm boycotting, but
list?
I'm boycotting something.
You're boycotting this list that they put out a year ago.
Look, it sounds to me, guys, like all five of those characters go in the top 10, right?
Yeah,
you just
sure,
don't like
absolutely.
Them in the top five. That's right. What you're saying. All right, let's take a call.
By the way, 800- I don't even know if Boba Fett goes in the top 10. Maybe top 20.
I think that's fair.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find nine other characters more important than Boba Fett in the legend, Kevin, quite frankly. He's got to be in there.
But like Chewbacca's not even in their top 10 in Rolling Stones list.
Well, come on!
Right? That's ridiculous. He's number 14, Chewbacca.
No! 14. No!
C-3PO is not in Rolling Stones' top 10, yet they have room for Boba Fett.
I would have put the Emperor at least in the top 10.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, you don't put the Emperor.
I would.
No.
I would.
No.
You can't tell me what I would do and what I wouldn't do.
Let's take one call. Mother Love and D2? Where's he?
11.
He's not in the top 10?
No, C-3PO.
No, I'm sorry. C-3PO is 11. R2's 7. Sorry.
Yes.
Let's take one call before the break. Let's make it Adrian and Chino, please. He's on line 4. He's going to help us out here.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Howie.
Hey.
Dumb list, right?
Yeah. Okay, so number 3, Obi-Wan. Number 2, Darth. And number 1, Yoda.
Whoa.
Number 1,
there's
Yoda.
No Luke, no Han, no Leia. In your top 3?
No.
Oh, get shit. Just
you go right to hell.
You sit down. You sit right the F down.
Put him in the Sarlacc pit, right?
Thank you for the call. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:39.
Rolling Stone Magazine's list of the top 50 Star Wars characters of all time is what we're debating right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Briefly, for folks just joining us.
Yes.
Number one, Han Solo on their list. Number two, Darth Vader.
Right.
Number three, Boba Fett. Number four, Yoda. Number five, Princess Leia. That's what they've got. In other words, no Luke Skywalker in their top five. And I think that's the biggest outrage of all. Plus, Darth Vader not being number one, right?
Yep.
Where's the pod race announcer? Where's he?
Let's take a few calls here. We got to start with Adrian. He's on line 6, please. He joins us from Long Beach here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're trying to make some sense of a real, legitimate, definitive top 5 Star Wars characters list. And Adrian, you want to contribute what, sir?
Yeah, for one, those are the Rolling Stones. They're not real Star Wars fans because that's a terrible list.
Right.
So you guys know. We know. Darth Vader's got to be number one.
Right.
Sure.
Check.
Okay, two. Well, it has to be Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Luke Skywalker,
check.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
Agreed.
Three,
agreed.
Three's got to be Yoda, right? Okay, you guys got to get believing on that one. Yoda.
Make See, check. I don't know.
Three is Yoda for me, but Han Solo's number two for me.
I think Han Solo should be number three.
Okay, I'd be Han Solo three.
I got Han Solo as four on my list. Yoda, I feel like he was a big draw for people who didn't see. He was an alien. You know, people love that. Like, him, and I got to have R2 as number five because R2, he's got to be on top five.
See, I do Leia at four. I do Leia at four, R2 at five.
I don't got Leia at four. I got Han Solo at four, R2 is five.
You have no Leia in the top five?
And I know Leia, I would say six. I would give her... because
putting R2-D2 over Leia.
R2-D2 is seventh on this on this rolling
stone. Most people, even as kids, were really drawn to R2. He was like the comic relief. Him and C-3PO, they were the comic reliefs, you know. But R2 is the quintessential robot. You know, you can't have Star Wars without R2. Really,
now R2's pretty great. He's pretty great.
Yeah,
I think thank you very much. Great call, Adrian. Really good.
Reasonable. You're a reasonable man. I disagree with
you. Part of the problem is we're trying to put too many people in the top five.
There's
only
five.
How
many should we put in the five?
Well, we're not good at this. we usually try to cram about nine or ten into the top five.
Oh, I see. That's a mistake.
All right. Let's try Dee Dee. She's on line eight. She's in Whittier. She has a compelling case.
R2 Dee Dee?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We are good.
What's wrong with the top five? Who's not in the top five that should be?
Wicket the Ewok.
Oh,
Dee Dee.
You go right to hell. You go right to hell, Dee Dee.
Oh, come on, man.
How tall are you?
That exactly. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. There you go. Mission accomplished. Uh-huh. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Michael, line seven, please. Michael is in Upland. He's going to help us out.
Hey, Michael.
What to do? Yeah, I agree with Vader. Yoda I would put second. Third would be Han. Fourth, Leia. Fifth would be Luke.
All right,
His is very similar to mine.
I would change the order, but all five of those would be the top five for me.
That's so you like Yoda more than Princess Leia in your top five? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's based off of how iconic they are to the series, their importance to the role, and then the top four on their influence and development on Luke. Because Luke is basically a product of the previous four from the beginning.
Yeah, so if without Luke, there's no Star Wars, and you have him at fifth.
Yeah, but without those four, you wouldn't have Luke how he is at the end of Return of the
Jedi. Without Luke, you don't need the other four because there's no story.
Well, without Obi-Wan, there's no Luke. Where's Obi-Wan?
Because he got Anakin pregnant?
No, Obi-Wan sets him on his path at the beginning.
Right, sets who on his path?
Luke!
Luke on the path!
Obi-Wan is number eight on the Rolling Stones. Right?
I just...
Ridiculous, right?
Head spinning from all the bad.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. That was, by the way, another very reasonable person. I had no problem with his call at all. All right, let's take Chris in Alhambra, please. Maybe he can settle this one for us.
All right, hey, Chris.
Good morning, guys.
Top 50 best... actually, we're just doing top five for Star Wars, best character.
Top five. I agree with you guys saying Darth Vader should be number one.
Okay.
The king of Star Wars is Darth Vader.
Got to be Darth Vader, right? And you have Skywalker at two?
I don't have Skywalker on my top five, actually.
He's not in the top five? Sit down. No, sit down.
Based on likability rather than their importance in the role.
Well, Luke Skywalker is a whiny little bitch for the first movie, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, who's on your top five that's not on our top five?
I have Han Solo, Boba Fett, R2-D2,
Boba Fett, and Yoda. That's ridiculous.
Oh, there's another Boba Fett. Look at that. Just like Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone has Boba Fett at number three.
Badass.
No, I like Boba Fett, but top five? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
He has a very small role, but, I mean, he grows on you. Like, he's really awesome.
Okay. Look, he's a great ancillary...
Right, what
he's a great ancillary character, and we love Boba Fett. We talked to Boba Fett on the show yesterday. Okay, we're obsessed with him, but not top five in the universe. That's all we're saying. But thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate that. Let's do one more caller on line nine. I don't see a name here though.
Misa has opinion too.
Oh no!
You go right to hell.
No.
Misa thinks
No.
Number five, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Nope, no prequel, sorry.
Number four, Annie. Oh, Annie's my favorite.
No, please stop talking to us.
Number one, Jar Jar Binks.
I thought you might say that. Okay.
Me to like Jar Jar.
Someone's alarm just
How about
went off.
That whole deal?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's K-Rock at 7:53.
Jim Rome talks sports just after 8. Rob is here now with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning.
This just in because we were talking about the top 5 Star Wars characters of all time. Listener Jansen just sent in this. This is the definitive top 5 Kevin and Bean people list. This is definitive, according to Jansen. Number one, Ralph. Number two, Kevin.
Okay, it's a great list.
Number three, Allie. Number four, Chip. Number five, producer Christine.
That's the top five.
I think that is the that's a list we can all agree on, and it does seem to be the definitive list of top 5 Kevin and Bean people. So thank you, Jansen, for sending that in. You're absolutely right. That is the definitive top 5 Kevin and Bean people list.
Who contributes a lot.
Done.
That is science.
That is science.
I mean, I'm no assistant producer Christine, but still, I could have made somewhere on the list, right?
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
Apparently not. He only has the top 5, Bean.
Sorry. Okay. I'm sure you're gotcha. I'm sure you're in the top 20.
Of all the people on our show?
Right after Big Tad, I think, on the list. I think you're right there. Kanye West has reportedly fired one of his security guards for something he did at the Met Gala. Can you imagine what that would be? What would be a fireable offense?
Something that the security guard did. Let somebody
play a match game. The security guard did blank.
Boom, boom.
I'm going to guess.
Boom, 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 boom.
Let somebody get to Kanye that Kanye didn't want to talk to.
That would seem to be a fireable offense, don't
sure.
you think? Yeah. He talked to Kim Kardashian.
He's not allowed to talk to Kim Kardashian?
No.
Even though he works for Kanye West.
Right. He dared to start a conversation with Kim Kardashian, and that apparently was enough for him to lose his job.
Wow.
Talking to Kim is apparently a big no-no. You're supposed to use pictures because she doesn't understand a lot of words. You just have to sort of draw things for her and just nod your head and see if she goes, Bible, totes, basic Bible totes.
Imagine how miserable anyone would be working for that family.
Yeah, that would suck.
Oh, how long do you think I'd last in the employ of that family?
Less than a minute.
Would I get through the interview?
No. Nope. Even if you got hired, you would get fired then immediately within about 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's pretty true. The Sharknado franchise scheduled to continue on July 31st will be the debut of Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens. Because it's the fourth film. It's the fourth Sharknado film.
Right.
So The Fourth Awakens. And we're learning more and more about the celebrity cameos that are piling up in that production. Of course, you know, Ian Ziering will be back. Tara Reid, David Hasselhoff, Gary Busey, we've been promised.
Nice.
But now it gets even better. Motley Crue's Vince Neil will be there.
Okay.
Assume pulling some woman's hair in Vegas at some point. Wayne Newton is in the film.
Ralph, excuse me if you mention this, but is Las Vegas where the Sharknado appears this time around?
I don't believe so, no.
Because when you say Wayne Newton, I think, it must be in Vegas.
Hey, maybe. Maybe. Maybe there's a scene that takes place there. David Faustino from Married with Children. Bud Bundy.
Finally.
Bud Bundy.
Finally, he's back.
Working again. Shark Tank's Robert Herjavec. Boy, they really pulled out all the stops, didn't they, for this one? So, there you go.
Can I add one more to the list?
Sure.
We're all just people.
Dr. Drew's in it?
He sure is.
Wow.
For reals? For reals.
Well, I'm glad he quit Loveline to do Sharknado. Seemed like a good trade-off.
I was playing poker last night, and I got in the car at about 11, and I turned on Loveline.
You were ready to sit back and enjoy all the talk about the leakage?
Right. I like MGMT, but that was the song that was on, and I was like, what happened? But it used to be because...
Yeah.
Those days are over, man.
And congratulations to the Ghostbusters movie. Kristen Wiig, Lewis McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones. They have officially been named the most disliked film trailer in YouTube history. As of this morning, it has nearly 716,000 dislikes to the 229,000 likes for that trailer.
What is failure?
So, it's the biggest discrepancy ever in the history of YouTube for a movie trailer. However, take heart, Ghostbusters, because Bad Moms is now available on YouTube. You can check out that trailer. So, I think they're going for the title? You got a shot at saving yourselves.
Is that the Kristen Bell movie that's coming out? Yeah. Mila Kunis? Is that the one?
Kristen Bell.
Yeah. Love both of them.
Yeah. Go watch the trailer and tell me what you think.
Okay.
Catherine Hahn. I mean, it's a great cast. A lot of good people.
Wow. Same with Ghostbusters.
It was knocked the wind right out of you. You should call that movie Solar Plexus. That's what it's a shot right to there.
Have any of you guys ever hit a thumbs up or thumbs down on YouTube?
Never.
No. On YouTube?
Never.
No.
Mm-mm. Never.
I don't live my life that way. But people Same. Do.
Yeah. But I got the feeling, Ralph, and tell me if this sounds right to you, that there was some sort of internet campaign against this. Yeah, maybe some people didn't think the movie looked good, but I think it swelled far beyond that, and there was a concerted effort by the internet to downvote that video. Like, it was a thing.
One more
that
time, there was a concerted effort from the internet to downvote the video.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it became a thing where they said, hey, guys, it would be really funny if everybody went on and downvoted this video so that it would make this kind of record. I think that
this discrepancy was the case from the first day it was on available.
Yeah, I'm saying there are people who didn't think the movie looked good. But this is 100 times what any movie has ever gotten in terms of negative votes on Twitter. And I think that had to have been some sort of concerted campaign. Like when the internet teams up and says, hey, let's all vote for, you know, Bodie McBoatface or something like that.
But
I think
I'm telling you, these numbers existed in the same ratio before it ever became newsworthy about how many dislikes it was getting.
So you think it's legitimate
voting?
People
hated this movie before the trailer even came out. There was a big population of people that hated the thought of this movie, and they wouldn't care if the trailer was unbelievable. They were going to downvote that.
Because of their affection from the original, or just because they didn't like women reprising those roles?
Both. Why not both, Bean? It's America.
It is America. Okay.
So you think the trailer had nothing to do with it?
Oh, I think for some, absolutely. But a lot had in their head, I'm not going to like this movie. I hate it. I hate the thought of it. Before they even watch the trailer. Absolutely.
Based on who's in it, I was really excited about it. And then I saw the trailer.
I think that's more the case than anything else.
Ah.
I think whether you were predisposed or against it when you saw that trailer, no one could say, yeah, oh, that now I'm encouraged. That looks good.
Yeah.
Did you watch the trailer and say, that looks good?
No. But I also wasn't planning on hating it just because it was being made.
But if you were planning on loving it and you went and you saw that trailer, I think you'd be more disappointed than if you were planning on not liking it.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
I think there's a lot of people that hate that movie for whole different reasons than we're getting into now.
Well, you can hear more about Ali's conspiracy theory on Dateline NBC.
It's not a conspiracy theory.
Stone Phillips.
Anyone
who's doing that.
Got their eyes open
Storm
can see
Storm Cloudy. He'll be hosting.
You know how ladies can get.
Today's celebrity birthday.
I just think you're terrific.
Danielle Fishel's 35 years old today. Henry Cavill's 33. Adele. He's 28. Chris Brown turns 27. And Hannah Davis celebrates 26 years on this planet. She makes the planet a better place. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Brand new music from the Red Hot Chili Peppers on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
That is a great song, by the way. The album is called The Getaway, coming out on June 17th. Every Thursday morning at this time, we are delighted to catch up with a radio legend, Jim Rome, host of The Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com, joins us. How are you, sir?
My world-famous K-Rock fam. Good morning, guys. What's up?
So much to talk about. A lot of stuff happening. A lot of it in the world of the NBA this week. And I wanted to get your thoughts because we haven't talked to you since Luke Walton was named the head coach of the Lakers. I can't imagine being 36 years old and having that burden on my shoulders. Is Luke the man for the job, Jim?
You know, I think there's a lot to like about him, but you're right. He's going to become the youngest coach in the NBA when he gets that gig. But what I do like about it is he played here. He won a couple of rings here. The guys he played with love him. The guys he's coaching at Golden State right now love him too. And by the time they get him, he's probably going to have back-to-back rings with Golden State. So you know it's going to be a buzzy hire, and he'll kill the opening presser. But the Warriors are everything the Lakers are not. They're talented. They're extremely well-run, and they might be the best team ever. And the Lakers are extremely dysfunctional, and he's getting one of their worst teams ever. So let's not get it twisted. I think it's a potentially great hire, but in and of itself, it does not make them good or relevant. They need to sign a couple of key guys to make a big trade before they matter again.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, is there's a lot of talk about the coach, but I don't hear a whole lot about who they're going to bring in to replace Kobe.
Well, they've got some good pieces. They've got some good talent. And I think that Luke Walton, because he's young and he's got a good rap, he's going to communicate and connect with the young guys they have already. So he'll get more out of them than Byron Scott did. But at the same time, you're right. If they can't get a big-name guy to come in and sign with them or make a big-time trade for a guy like Paul George, this isn't going to matter. I mean, they've got good pieces, and I do like the hire. But he's got to get more players to come in to work with, or it's not going to matter at all.
How much credit do you give Luke Walton, who again was the assistant coach at Golden State, but there was but he filled in at the first part of the season, posted a 39-4 record. But I feel like you could coach the Warriors to 39-4. They're so good.
Well, maybe not 39-4. Maybe no. He deserves credit for it. Listen, they always talk about that in that business. Then moving that one seat over is like the hardest thing you could possibly do. Now, granted, that's a really good team with really good guys and really good chemistry. But it's not as easy as just rolling the basketball out. They like him. Like, take a guy like Draymond Green. Really intense guy, strong personality. But that's a guy that really respects and responds to Luke Walton. So I think it's not as easy as just rolling the ball out. He does deserve credit. And if he didn't do that, I'm going to say that he would not have the Laker job right now. I think that mattered a lot.
Don't you think it's all leading to Phil coming back in a couple years?
I hope not.
Really?
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, maybe. Maybe, but that's part of what Luke Walton is signing up for. I think when you sign up for an organization that's that jacked up and that dysfunctional, and you don't know whether or not guys are coming or going, that's not a great thing. But then again, when they offer you a dream job and they put $35 million and they stack it up in front of you, you just say yes. You just say yes.
Last question on Luke Walton, and that is, were you surprised by the reports that he was the only candidate they interviewed for that job?
A little bit, but not really. I think that he was going to be in high demand, and they wanted to make sure they got this guy. I mean, they went all in, and they wanted to get him. I mean, in one sense, if you're Luke Walton, you might even ask yourself, why would I go from the best-run organization to the worst one when I'm not even sure how long Steve Kerr is going to be here? Right? Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr's got some health issues, and Walton might say, I'm 36, and this is an unbelievable team. I might just wait this thing out. But the Lakers, I think, knowing that, went to him and took the big swing, and they made him an offer he couldn't say no to. And I think he's worth it. Yeah, I would not mess around. Get that guy before somebody else does or he stays there.
This is our weekly visit with our friend Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Keeping it on the NBA court, how about Game 2, the ridiculous ending in the final 13 seconds between Oklahoma City and San Antonio? The referees came out after the game and said, oh, yeah, we missed a whole bunch of fouls. How does that happen in a playoff game, Jim?
Wasn't that awesome? Actually,
it was unbelievable.
It was the best. They didn't say that we missed a bunch. They came out about 10 seconds after the fact and said they missed the one big one where Deion Waiters was trying to inbound the ball, and instead of throwing it in, he just elbowed Manu Ginobili in the chest. and they said, well, you know, we've never seen that before. Like, that was their excuse.
Everyone in the arena saw it happen, though.
Well, right.
It was so blatant.
I've never seen another guy or one guy punch another guy in the face trying to inbound the ball, but I'm pretty sure I know that's a foul. So they not only that, but the league said after the fact that they missed not just that, not two, not three, not four, but they missed five calls in the last 13 and a half seconds. So I would have expected that crap to happen with David Stern around the NBA, but not now. That can't happen now.
Five
but it was
calls
awesome.
In 13 seconds.
But it was
and
awesome.
They have an NBA replay center like they do in all sports now, but what's the deal? You're only allowed to challenge specific things as a coach, and nothing like that was available as a challenge?
They can't challenge five non-calls in 13 and a half seconds. That was the problem. Like, all hell broke loose. They totally lost control. I mean, so how is it that you show up and then completely disappear? I have never seen such a circus in my life. Bottom line, if their whole thing is, well, we've never seen it before, hopefully going forward, only things happen that they've seen before, or we're going to have another circus on our hands.
How did Pop handle it for San Antonio in the press conference afterwards? Was he pissed? Because I would be.
Yeah, he was. He was, and he probably still is. And he and Billy Donovan both, and Donovan's rapped on my show as the kid who looks like Herman Munster's kid. You know, the little Munster kid.
Yep.
The
right, these guys, Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie. Exactly, Edward. Both these guys were acting like, what play? What call? We didn't see anything. I'm like, come on, man. Don't bring that around here. You know exactly what we're talking about. You saw it. So Pop was pissed, but he acted like he didn't see anything and nobody and had no idea what anybody was talking about.
Unbelievable. All right, one more story for you today, Jim. And this is, I'm sure, the only thing you care about is waiting by the phone for Space Jam 2, Where's Jim Rome in the Movie?
You're so right. You're so right. I thought you'd never get to that. Right, so after years of rumors, we're finally getting a remake of the greatest basketball movie ever. Maybe the greatest movie ever, Space Jam 2.
I'm sorry. What?
Have you heard seen me. Hoosiers?
You heard me.
Or...
Great, not greatest basketball movie, greatest movie
I
ever.
See. Okay, all right.
Not named White Chicks. All right, so,
or
so what's going on? Well, yeah, that too. What's going on here is LeBron is the guy, right? But the problem is my phone's not ringing. So
what?
I don't want to make this about me, fellas.
I do.
And Allie,
I do.
But can we make it about me for a
yeah,
minute?
Sure.
Obviously, they did not hear me in the original, and I'm sure you have. But if you haven't, can you all listen and learn for 1 second?
It was another career day for Michael Jordan at Barron's Field this afternoon.
What are you guys watching?
Today he went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts.
Is this the only thing on TV?
That brings his batting average down to an anemic 214, which also happens to be his playing weight. Baseball bat. Get this guy a tennis racket.
You hear that? You hear that? Get this guy a tennis racket.
Boom.
That's a good delivery.
So wow.
That was me back in the day, and I'm here to
say to
you.
20 years ago, by the way, kids. 20
yeah,
years
that.
Ago that movie was
thanks for that. Sequels only work when you bring back the original magic. Get at me, Braun.
Okay.
Offer only, no audition. Offer only, no audition. Let's make Space Jam great again.
Oh, jeez.
All right, you guys.
What, Allie?
Let's make that happen. What's the phone number to call the show, Jim? I want to make sure if the director, Justin Lin, is listening, he knows how to reach you later today.
1-800-GO-DUCKS. Get at
Check
me.
Check him out at jimrome.com.
Get at
we'll
me.
Talk to you next week, buddy. Thanks for
Bye
coming
guys.
On.
Thank See
you,
ya.
Jim. Bye now. Oh, my Lord. All right, we're going to give away Weenie Roast tickets next. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you'd like to win tickets for a week from Saturday when we do the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016, we will play the game next. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Weezer, Empire of the Sun, Panic at the Disco, The Lumineers, Garbage, Cold War Kids, Fits in the Tantrums, and so much more. We're talking about 1 week from Saturday. The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016 is at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. We're giving away some tickets right now. Contestants are on the line. Kevin, what's the game today?
The game is Speedy Weenie.
Hey, everybody, it's time for Speedy Weenie, where we take song clips and play them really, really fast. Are you ready to play? It's Speedy Weenie! Speedy Weenie! Yay, everybody, let's play! Speedy Weenie!
Woo! Wow.
Awesome.
All right, Speedy Weenie, and in this case, we're honoring the music of Weezer. So all of the songs that we're speeding up for you today are Weezer songs, popular Weezer songs that you've heard here on K-Rock. We'll play it for you, then you'll have to tell us what it is by title. If you're right, you go into the drawing to win the tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. We play it once for him or twice, Kevin?
Once.
One time.
Yep.
So listen carefully and tell us what Weezer song we are speeding up. Who's our first contestant, please?
We have Eric in Calabasas. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. All right, you understand Speedy Weenie?
Got it.
Tell us what Weezer song this is.
I think that's Undone.
I'm sorry, no.
That's Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills.
Nice try there, Eric. Thank you so much for playing.
All right, let's go to Adrian in Fontucky, it says here.
Hey. Hey, party people. What's going on?
Doing Speedy Weenie. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here you go.
Kevin. Man, this is probably harder than the hardest game in the world.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough one. It goes by really fast. You know why? Super sped up.
Yeah.
I'd say Speedy. Name, please. Title of the song.
You got it. Say it and so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for the call.
0-2. I'm getting a little bit nervous here.
All right, let's go to Derek in Fullerton. Hi, Derek.
Morning, guys. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning.
All right, you ready for your song?
Do it.
Here it is.
That's the whole song?
No, it's not the whole song.
All right, Stab in the Dark. Beverly Hills.
Sorry, that was Buddy Holly.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's go to Kyle and Yorba Linda. Hi, Kyle.
Morning, guys. Morning, Allie.
Hi.
How have you been doing listening to the other contestants fail before you?
I'm 0 for 4, and I've only heard 3 songs.
Okay. All right. I'm feeling good about your chances here.
Excellent. Good luck. Here you go.
Oh, man. This is the easiest one.
All right. Great. Give us the title, man.
That's good news. The song title is?
It's, no, it's not,
All right, we don't have time to talk about what it's not. I'm sorry.
Sorry, that's, Thank you for the call. But do we have a new hardest game in the world?
This is pretty
We might.
All right, let's go to Patrick in Diamond Bar. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
You know, these sound pretty clear to us, but I imagine going down the phone line, it's probably
a little tougher, yeah.
Yeah, really difficult.
Are you a Weezer fan, Patrick?
Yeah, huge Weezer fan. Right.
Okay, well, this might help you out because a couple of the other contestants have taken stabs at songs that have already been played. So I'm going to remind you, it's not Beverly Hills, it's not Island in the Sun, it's not Buddy Holly, and it's not Say It Ain't So. What Weezer song are you listening to here?
The Spider song?
Sorry, that's... I'm a troublemaker. Sorry
about
that.
All right. I'm feeling good about Mike. I don't know why, but I am.
I don't know why either.
Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, we don't have a winner.
I'm going to put a dollar down on Mike.
Really?
I'm putting a dollar down. That's how confident I am in Mike.
All right. Mike, you ready?
Let's do it. Yeah, okay. so obviously we'll just guess here. Let's go with Pork and Beans.
Yeah! Wow.
Well, does somebody owe me a dollar?
No.
Well, I don't. You said you're putting up a dollar, but I don't know that
anyone... Well, I thought that was the contract was being made.
No,
you owe me a dollar.
No one took the bet.
Nope. Sorry, that's how it works.
All right, Mike, you owe me a dollar now, buddy.
Thank you, Mike. All right.
All right, do we cut our losses and just declare him the winner? You want to try another one?
I think let's try another one.
Yeah. I feel good about this one.
You going to put a dollar on Giovanni?
I'm putting a dollar on Giovanni.
Hi, Giovanni.
Yes, hello.
Hi, are you ready?
I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready.
Speedy Weenie, good luck.
I'm going to take that dollar back.
I'm going to have to go with, I'm just going to guess on this, King of the World.
Sorry. If you want to
destroy my sweater. I didn't like that one either.
All right. One more, guys.
Let's do one more. Because
one more.
Because we think Andrew is the answer?
Maybe. Let's
find Andrew.
Out.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. Mike on hold. You just, if this guy doesn't get it, you win. Here we go.
Jesus. Thank God for Girls.
All right, let's do the grand prize drawing.
Is it going to be Mike in West Covina or West Covina's Mike? Who wins tickets to join us a week from Saturday at Irvine Meadows for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016? Alan McKay, the winner is?
West Covina's Mike.
Oh, West Covina's Mike.
Yay!
Congratulations. We'll see you at the Weenie Roast.
Hey, I just want to tell Omar he can suck it.
All right.
Speedy Weenie! Speedy Weenie! Yeah!
I think about a lot of things, you guys. I have a lot of thinky thoughts. And I wonder sometimes, who are we playing on K-Rock today that will be the equivalent of the classic rock bands that are out there touring now? Like, in 40 years, will we go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers and go, man, that's when music was the best. That's when it was great. Will the Killers be one of those bands, for instance, that's going to be around decades from now? And people go, oh, I've loved them my whole life.
Limp Bizkit?
Maybe not Limp Bizkit.
I've been thinking about Foo Fighters.
It's a perfect example. I can totally see Foo Fighters 50 years from now.
Sure.
We're still like, man, those guys are still great. And I've been thinking about this a lot, partly because the greatest classic rock music festival in history is going on this October. And you've been hearing about it. It's called the Desert Trip from the people who brought you Coachella. And it's the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Neil Young, Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, The Who, and the man on the phone with us right now, Paul McCartney, all playing for one weekend in Indio, California. in early October. Mr. McCartney, unbelievable lineup.
You can call me sir.
All right. Sir Paul,
if you want.
Was it difficult for you to be talked into doing an event like this?
No, not at all. You know, I just thought, you know, they heard about the idea. And I thought, that sounds great. You know, to get all these bands together. These are all my mates, you know. I've known these guys forever.
Sure.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I've played Coachella before.
Yeah, of course you have. Yeah.
You know, I know what a good venue it is and what a good time it can be. So I think it's going to be a party.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been friends with Mick Jagger for over 50 years, and here you are playing the same weekend.
Yeah, and Dylan, too. You know, we met Dylan our first trip to America back in 64.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just great to see all these guys together and still all be playing and getting out and doing music that people like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a one of a kind deal. I can't even believe you can go to deserttrip.com if you want to buy your tickets. Now, do you think that there will be any collaboration between some of you music giants over the course of that weekend?
Well, you know, most of us are playing different nights.
Right. So, there's three nights. It's October 7, 8, and 9.
You know, I'm playing the same night as Neil. Mm-hmm. You know, I've known Neil from, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, for years. So we may cross paths at some point.
That'd be fun. Okay.
And, you know, I'll be there all weekend, so maybe I'll get on stage with Mick and the boys.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That'd be something else.
Bob and I will get together and do a song. But I'm working on some music now for the event, and I think it's going to be great.
Oh. You're working
on
new stuff?
Yeah, new music, you mean?
New song just for Desert Trip.
Okay.
Oh, wow. This song. Desert Trip. Get your bung out, then you take a rip. Make a cocktail, then you take a sip. Oh, I believe in Desert Trip.
That sounds a lot like...
All right, boys, stop with the strings.
It's just yesterday, though. I mean, it's just you singing different lyrics over...
No, I wrote it today.
No, that's your song yesterday that you wrote...
No, I told you I wrote it today.
Okay. I don't want to argue with you, Sir Paul.
I didn't write it yesterday. I wrote it today. I just wrote it.
No. I mean your song called Named Yesterday.
No,
I'm telling you
I named the song today, Desert Trip. I just called it that today.
Okay. Right. All right. We'll just
confused.
Have to
you keep agree to disagree. I did it yesterday. I didn't. All right. It's brand new.
So is that the only new song you're going to be performing?
Yeah, because, you know, we're sitting here with the other guys. We're trying to work out what we're going to do.
The other guys in your band?
No, the other guys at the festival.
What?
The other bands that are on the bill?
Yeah,
like
we all hang out together.
Like Bob Dylan is sitting there?
Yeah, Bob's over. Hey, Bob. Why would you talk to Kevin and Dean?
Are you kidding me? Paul McCartney and Bob Dylan in the same room?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Kevin and Dean. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Bob is saying you're going to the Desert Trip.
Desert Trip. Yeah, that's right. So that's are you right like... It. Right. Like Sir Paul, are you so excited to be playing that weekend in October?
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, it's only fun to see. Yeah, it's only against Dylan, Tom.
Right.
I missed most of that. And Paul told us that he's working on new music. How about you?
Yeah, well, no. I get on sentimental like a Rolling Stone. With the Rolling Stones.
So you're changing the words because you're playing the same as the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, so it is. It's going to Keith Richards.
Keith Richards is there?
Is there?
Next
Keith.
Be the best party ever.
Keith, what the hell was Bob Dylan talking about? We missed all of it.
I know. I'm just on these things I'm doing, you know.
Right. Yeah. I need someone to translate for Keith Richards. Right. So, how about you? What are your thoughts about the Rolling Stones playing in the desert in October?
Oh, it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be the thing. And then it goes on to Florida State in all 3 days.
All 3 days, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're going to be there all 3 days? Are you going to see any of the other acts?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see Neil Young.
Neil Young. Now, do you know Neil?
He's right here. Neil!
What? Oh, Neil Young is with you?
This is unbelievable.
Hello, Kevin and Dean.
Hi, Neil Young. How are you?
I can't wait to play Coachella. Hey, hey.
It's not technically Coachella as much as it is Desert Trip, but it's the same place.
The home of the Coachella Music Valley and Arts Festival.
Yes, that is true.
Well, in India, that's where they do it.
That's correct, yes.
Hey, yeah, you're right. Hey, desert trip.
There you go. Okay. So it sounds like you guys are having quite a morning all hanging out together.
Yes, 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 we are.
Okay.
We're all naked in the jacuzzi.
Whoa, whoa.
Sorry, what?
Paul McCartney keeps making bubbles.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Got to talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky just after 9 o'clock. Ralph, you're coming at the doctor today, right?
Well,
you're coming at him.
I just wish he would stop killing people. That's all I care
about. That's all he does is kill.
Whatever happened to the Hippocratic Oath, which
right?
Kevin, of course, is, you know.
Don't kill patients.
More or less.
Right? That's close. That's actually close.
Thank you.
Yeah, do you know the Hippocratic Oath at all?
Yes.
Really? What it is?
Keep patients alive, no matter the cost. Because that's what you would want.
First, do no harm.
Right.
Is their oath.
Same as don't kill them.
Pretty much.
Same thing. You're not far off, actually.
Well, all I know is what Ralph told us yesterday, which is that 9 out of 10 people that check into a hospital come out in a body bag. That's the number that I heard.
I don't think that was the number.
Almost everyone who goes to the hospital dies there.
Some of them aren't even dead, and they're putting them in body bags, which I think is even crueler. Do they have that thing zipped up? You're like, oh, come on, seriously, get me out of here. Come on.
So I think Dr. Drew's got a lot of splaining to do, but we'll get to him right after the top of the hour. Don't forget, also, brand-new Red Hot Chili Peppers debuted this morning on the Kevin Beach. We got that coming up, as well as our conversation with Anthony Kiedis. First out time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's new?
I think our message to Drew should be a little less Sharknado. A little more saving lives. How about that? How about that as the message for the day? Huh?
All right.
I want to give some props, some mad love, a shout out to my boy Seth MacFarlane. You know him, of course, as creator of Family Guy. Ted.
Love him.
In many ways, Dinah West. Ted too.
Oh, absolutely.
Love everything he does.
He's a good guy and a nice man and a genius. And as long as I've known Seth, it's always been a dream of his to do, seriously, a Star Trek TV show. He's a huge Trekker, especially New Generation. Loves that show. And, you know, once the films sort of took off and they became something else, he always had a dream to run a Star Trek show, to create and oversee Star Trek.
A serious one, not a comedy. Okay.
Star Trek. So then they kind of did that without him. You know, CBS All Access is doing their new Star Trek TV series in 2017. So I think that window closed for Seth.
Okay.
So this Seth being Seth, he just announced this week that he is doing a live-action comedy on Fox set 300 years in the future with the adventures of a not-so-top-of-the-line exploratory spaceship in Earth's interstellar fleet. So Seth just said, oh, I can't do Star Trek? Fine. I'm just going to go off and I'm going to do my own sci-fi show. And it's going to be a comedy and it's going to be live-action and Seth's going to star. And he said to Fox, I'd like to do this. And they said, right this way, sir. And he just got a full order for his first season.
Fantastic.
Not even a pilot. Boom. Just go. Do it. You. Now. Happen. So I'm happy he's finally getting his wish of doing his own science fiction series. Should be very funny. Before Prince died, Warner Brothers had already had plans to re-release more of his catalog on vinyl. So those plans are moving forward. Around the World in a Day is set for a July 5th release on vinyl. Parade is due out in August. And apparently, according to Warner's, you can expect many Prince albums available on the high-end 180-gram vinyl, if you're so inclined, if you want to pick that stuff up. The Black Album, Batman, Sign of the Times, the Love Symbol album, and more later this year. Warner's is also releasing Controversy, Dirty Mind, and Purple Rain on cassette.
Oh.
So,
is that true?
It is.
Who has a cassette?
Cassette's hot again, Kevin. Come on.
It is very hot again.
Is it? Come on, Kevin.
Kevin, every record store I go in now has a whole section of cassette-only stuff or new cassettes being released. Yeah, it's a thing. I don't know why it's a thing. It's not better than any of the other formats, but people seem to be nostalgic about it.
People argue that vinyl had a unique sound, that it was a little bit better than CDs, but I don't think anyone felt that way about cassettes.
Oh, cassette had a unique sound, too. It had this sound. It was very unique.
I mean, the only reason we accepted cassettes is because that's what made our music portable first.
Right.
But now there's no need for that because there are lots of digital ways to make your music portable.
How dare you, sir? Huh. I won't have you ignore the 8-track.
Oh, I love the 8-track.
Oh, the 8-track. I love the 8-track.
Open up a blog.
My very first car I ever got was a used car, and it had the glove compartment. You pop the glove compartment open, had an 8-track player inside the glove compartment.
In the glove compartment.
Sweet. Yeah. Nice. Classy. It was like James Bond. But instead of like a laser or a secret weapon or a gun or something hidden in the dash, it had an 8-track player hidden in the dash.
So it's not very much like James Bond.
Not at all. Really like at James all. Bond, okay. No, except the fact
I wonder if with Prince's death now, they'll reconsider his policy to keep his music off of most of the streaming services too, like Pandora and Spotify and places like that.
I get the sense that the floodgates are going to open re-Prince material. Now that the estate is in control, they're going to say, would his wishes be damned? Let's start making some money.
Yeah. Well, you're leaving a lot of money on the table by not being on Spotify.
He has money on a table, just sitting on a table? That's ridiculous.
Might have some of that as well.
Why doesn't he put it in a bank or in a vault? He's got that vault for music, but his money just sits on a table.
He doesn't trust people.
That's ridiculous. And speaking of people who don't trust people, how about DJ Kool Herc, right?
DJ Kool Herc.
DJ Kool
Herc.
What's
he up to?
He's like the founder of hip-hop, Kevin.
Kevin, come on.
Come on.
This is why we have a black girl on the show.
Exactly.
To be able to school us in these things.
I am nervous about the story. Africa Bambaataa didn't touch him too, did he?
Oh, no. That's bad.
He is suing the producers of HBO's Vinyl.
Oh, no. That was my favorite part of Vinyl when they introduced DJ Kool Herc.
Nope.
Oh, no.
It wasn't your favorite part, apparently.
He says the producers of Vinyl stole his name, his reputation, and his goodwill. You don't want to take a man's goodwill. By using his story without his consent, he filed papers in a Manhattan Supreme Court this week saying that HBO did come to him, offering him a deal for the overall rights to his life and to be a consultant on the series. A whopping $10,000 is what they offered. Herc refused that offer, saying it was too low, but then he says HBO went and did it anyway. So now, there's a reckoning. A reckoning's a-coming. Hell's coming, and Herc's coming with it.
I feel like $10,000 is not a bad offer for you to be portrayed on screen. No, it's not his life story. They didn't make a movie about DJ Kool Herc. He's on screen for 30 seconds in an episode.
But I think he also reserves the right to say, no, I want more for that.
Certainly he does.
So then if he doesn't get it, you can't just go ahead and say, well, we're just going to use it anyway. Shh, don't tell him. Maybe he won't know.
maybe he doesn't have HBO.
You got to have your rights, right? You got to fight for your rights.
I've heard that.
You do. Yeah, that's true.
To party. Yes. Yeah. So we'll wait and see how that shakes down. No comment from the network or from Mick Jagger or Martin Scorsese. You guys should have asked Mick while you had him on the phone.
He didn't know the story.
Hanging out in the desert with Paul McCartney. You should have known. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Model Hannah Davis is 26 years old today. She's attractive.
Yeah. She's one of those attractive models?
Yeah, I looked her up. Oh. She is not ugly.
Those are the best kind.
She is a comely lass.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Chris Brown's 27 years old today.
Oh, holy moly. Hannah Davis, is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Isn't that Derek Jeter's wife?
Derek Jeter's wife, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good deal.
Yeah. You two
She's
knew?
Attractive.
What's
I
happening?
Didn't remember that. I didn't remember she was the Mrs. Jeter. I didn't remember that's who we were talking about here.
She's a good-looking lady.
She is, what
we're saying,
Ralph.
I think you're misunderstanding what we're saying.
No, she's a stunner.
She's one of those models who you like to look at.
She has been for
she's
a
one of them.
Allie, she's really attractive.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, that's,
you think maybe she's ugly,
that.
You know, but then
no
you look at her and
that.
Say, holy moly, she is the opposite of ugly. She's on the other end of the spectrum.
She's 25, though, so this
26
is the last...
today. 26 today.
26. Okay. Yeah. So she's right at the very tail end of being that pretty, right?
She's got about 8 more months in her.
Right.
Yep. Chris Brown's 27 years old. Singer Adele is 28.
Adele.
We have Adele in the studio. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but Adele, come on over here and say hi to everybody.
Hello, I'm Adele.
Nailed it.
It's as if she's in the room with us.
Wow.
That's spooky.
Happy birthday. How are you celebrating?
You just said that out loud.
I got chills. Yeah, Adele, how are you celebrating your birthday?
I'm going to have some wine. No?
Just that?
Oh, no.
Just the wine?
Maybe some vodka. Wow. I gotta go. Hello?
Allie, girl of 1,000 accents. I'm telling
Hello?
You, I see another segment in our future.
Tomorrow.
Get the wheel out.
Henry All right, Allie, Chicago, get warmed up.
Henry Cavill's 33 years old today. And Danielle Fishel. We love Danielle. She's 35. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Dominic Candelaria from Culver City. Just got tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016. We give them away at the top of the hour between 9 and 6 p.m. here on K-Rock every day.
Not only that, by the way, Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing that Weenie Roast show a week from Saturday at Irvine, and we're going to have their brand new song just debuted this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and our conversation with Anthony Kiedis that is coming up. But first, this was a surprise for me to see. The number one cause of death in the United States is heart disease. Number two is cancer. Number three, Dr. Drew Pinsky. I mean, what are the two? Seriously, number three, Dr. Drew, who joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Doc.
I'm here. Thank you for that.
Here's the headline from ScienceDaily.com, which Kevin tipped us off to because he reads it every week.
Sure, of course.
Medical errors, now the third leading cause of death in the United States. Medical errors. In other words, these are people who check into the hospital and somebody makes a mistake and they die because of it. It's number three, Dr. Drew. Why isn't this getting more attention?
Well, it is getting more attention. The reason it's somewhat spurious, guys, is these guys use very suspect technique to come up with these numbers. They, in the sort of medical misadventure and the sort of under the category of medical errors, they included, oh, the patient didn't take his medicine every day because he didn't understand the importance. The family wasn't available at the hour the patient was discharged. Every single little wrinkle that can have an adverse effect on patient care was measured. It's not like somebody got the wrong limb taken out or ended up with a forcep in their abdomen. That is a tiny, 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 tiny little piece of what they're recording here in this data. Now, we have huge problems with resistant bacteria. We have huge problems with medical misadventures. We have, you know, all kinds of need for quality improvement. There's no doubt about that. But in my humble opinion, these guys sort of jumped the shark on the data that they collected to inflate the picture, to make it look like there's a crisis going on. Again, the most common sorts of errors they cited were the discharge instructions weren't clear to the patient. Mm-hmm. And therefore they...
So you're blaming the victim, basically.
Which of you was that?
That was Bean.
That was Bean?
Yeah.
Neither of you surprised by that?
No, of course not.
I mean, if that had been Kevin, I would have been like, okay.
How dare you, Dr. Drew?
No, you know what I'm talking about.
This came out of Johns Hopkins. Why would they do that?
No, it did not come out of Johns Hopkins.
It didn't.
It didn't. It really didn't. But everyone is signing off on the need. The intent is I completely sign off on. And what they are, the analogy they're using is the transparency of, say, the aviation industry, that every time there is a major misadventure, there's a completely open investigation into the causes, and it's shared with all the professionals. The problem is, again, these guys are wanting to look at every time somebody doesn't understand their discharge instructions as mm-hmm. something that everyone in medicine needs to review. No. But, again, the idea, the intent of openness, the intent of creating a medical legal environment where people can be open. Listen, as it is now, the attorneys that represent the hospitals and doctors won't let them be open. So there has to be sort of forces in place that really allow for open sharing of all information. So in fact, something like, and Bean, to your point, the proper distribution of discharge instructions can be done every time properly at a standard. The other downside to this study is they're really asking for, calling for in this study, an abject systematization of all aspects of medical care. One of the things they point at is, well, some doctors didn't follow the clinical recommendations that are standard. Well, now you're asking for robots to be doing medicine. And it really is a cry for some sort of menu-type approach to the practice of medicine. Again, there should be standards. Doctors should be following them. But calling it a medical misadventure or an error when a doctor doesn't follow the letter of that clinical pathway and there's an adverse outcome, no, that is going to make for horrible health care. That is going to be an unintended consequence of what otherwise is a well-intentioned and good idea.
That makes a lot of sense to me, what you're saying, Dr. Drew. And I have to tell you, I can't be surprised when there are medical mistakes made. When you consider how many people, when they're just by virtue of being in the hospital, they're oftentimes in very poor health or in a life or death situation. And there are a lot of things that have to go right for somebody to recover under the best of circumstances.
Absolutely.
I can see how there would be errors that would be, you know, sometimes just giving somebody, you know, not turning a patient or not giving the person the medicine on time. I mean, a lot of those things can just, they can get out of control pretty fast.
Point, physicians, nurses, hospitals want to be 100%. They want to be at 100%. Their attempt, they'll never be because, as you point out, there's always human error. And then there's also the issue that when you put a concentration of sick people together who are receiving very powerful medications like antibiotics, you grow resistant organisms. It's necessarily the case of the fact that you're doing that, that you will grow bad organisms in that environment. So just by walking into the hospital, you are exposing yourself to potential.
So you're saying we should tear all hospitals down.
I'm saying you should blame the victim.
Dr. Drew, you had surgery a couple of years ago and were in the hospital. Did you feel safe and confident that you were going to be okay under that care?
It's interesting. Whenever I get care, I just select who's going to do my care, select the best person. I just tell them, forget I'm a peer, forget you know who I am, and just do your standard care. Do not do anything different than you normally do, because as soon as a physician or a nurse is using other than their usual judgment, which is, I've selected them because their judgment is excellent, if they're using anything other than that, I'm going to get something I don't want. So the deal is, yes, make decisions with the doctor and answer, you know, participate to the extent the physician or nurse wants you to, but otherwise let them do their job.
Can you imagine Dr. Drew as a patient? The nurse?
Doctors and nurses are the worst patients.
Yeah, I was not super happy with the nursing care I got. I was left in pain for hours and hours and hours, and no one checked on me for like 4 hours, and I was so bad I couldn't reach the button. It's terrible.
So
that was a misadventure, but okay, it happened.
Okay, yeah. All right, you survived. Listen, before you go, Dr. Drew, I know you got to run off to another thing. You're no longer with Loveline, and it's been a real adjustment. Kevin was just saying on the air earlier today that he was driving home from a poker thing last night, and as is his custom, he punches the button at 11 o'clock, and all of a sudden there's no Dr. Drew. It's been very sad for us. How's it been for you being off the show?
It is sad, but I must tell you, within 2 days, I felt like a different person. I realized not only have I not been sleeping at night and getting up a strange hour, you know, late hours because of Loveline, but back when it was one day a week, I was still practicing 16 hours a day, so I would come home at 10 or 11 and get up at 5. And so for those first 3 days of my life, with normal sleep in the last 30 years, was this week. It's been bizarre. I'm like,
that
is. Person. But then this morning, I had to get up at 4 and go to CNN and start reporting on print, so it's all off again.
And I know you're still doing the midday afternoons with Mike Cathwood on KABC, and of course you're still doing the HLN show at 4. But what's this new, real quick before you go, what's the new thing that you announced with Carolla this week?
Yes, he and I are now doing 5 days a week. We're doing call-centric. We are trying to solve general problems, not just sex and relationships. And I would say if you listen to Friday's show, you'll hear that the old Adam and Drew sort of relationship is back. I feel like we found ourselves again. The love is back.
The love is alive, people.
So instead of, no, I can't say that on K-Rock, but do download the Dr. Drew show.
All right.
Please.
We'll do it. DrDrew.com and, of course, AdamCarolla.com. Have a great week, sir. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:45.
One more time. Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. What's going on?
I got to get out of here. I have to hurry up and get my KFC edible nail polish.
I'm sorry, you're what?
You heard me.
KFC. Kentucky
now
fried
I'm making flavored nail polish.
Yummy.
Right?
Well, you don't eat it. It's just like the title
Allie.
Of it is like...
Oh, Allie. Don't be so 20th century. Of course you eat it.
I don't understand.
KFC has announced it has created a nail polish carefully formulated from natural ingredients that you apply, allow to dry, and then you lick.
That isn't good for you.
It comes at hot and spicy and original flavor.
No.
Yum,
yes,
yum.
It does.
Give me some of that.
I feel like maybe this is an Onion article.
Is Adweek the Onion?
Right now, yes.
Oh, I see.
It seems like it.
My bad. I was confused. So make sure you get your edible nail polish. Because it's finger licking good. See?
Oh, now you can actually lick your fingers.
Thank you, Bean. Someone finally understands. Someone. With
but
the wherewithal.
I feel like once you lick it, then it's the flavor's gone? Or do you have to keep licking it? I'm
really?
Stop talking.
Honestly, you
oh, please don't. Please don't. We don't have enough tape yet.
So how long do you usually lick it, Allie?
Well, that's my question, because if you lick it once, is it done? Or do you have to keep licking?
Depends what a good licker you are.
I would keep licking.
Go on.
Are we there yet? Do we have enough?
I think we're
plenty. Right, good. Yeah.
Just mix that with some beer mug moans, and we have a new, brand new piece.
We got it.
We're in business.
Love it. Wes Craven just made a real easy $250,000. Just sold his home for $3.5 million.
All right.
Boy, these homes, they go for these prices in show business people's lives. Yeah. It's nuts to me. Wes Craven's been around for a while. He probably bought it when it was, reasonable. But sell a home for, close to $4 million.
It's pretty cool.
That better be a hell of a house.
Speaking of people who are making a lot of money, Ralph, I saw an article yesterday. We did that Spielberg story the other day about the crazy amount of money he made off of his stock.
$187 million from 5% stake.
DreamWorks getting bought by Fox, whatever it was. Right. I saw an article yesterday, and I guess you probably knew about this. I did. That he and George Lucas made some sort of a deal where they swapped profits on Star Wars and Close Encounters. They gave each other 2.5% of the other's movie. So he's made over $40 million off of Star Wars. Steven Spielberg has.
Wow.
Again, reminding you,
being a good dude.
He had nothing to do with Star Wars. He didn't work on it. He was just friends with George Lucas.
I didn't have anything to do with it either, and I made nothing.
Well, I believe George did pick his brain.
Oh, is that true?
While it was going on. They've been buddies since back in the day.
Like film school or something,
yeah, they came up together at USC Film School, I believe. And they've been very close friends, and they often bounce ideas and stuff off of each other while they're in works for stuff. And I think Spielberg did the same with Close Encounters. He asked George for some input, just, casually. And
that's
vice
pretty
versa.
Cool, though.
So he said, hey, this thing, if anything happens here, I'll give you a little taste in the back end.
What?
I love that.
when you give somebody a little taste in the back end.
It's pretty good $40 million, though, for whatever advice Steven Spielberg offered over lunch that day. It was it worked out for him.
Right. So the moral of the story is, give your friends advice.
Okay. All right. But my friends don't have a lot of money, so then how does that work for me?
So the takeaway is get better friends, I guess is what we're saying. Don't make Minnie Driver mad. You wouldn't like her when she's angry.
Minnie Driver.
Apparently she got into a screaming match with her neighbor after a delivery truck blocked her driveway. Well, you know what? She's right. That's nothing more frustrating. We've got a house across the street from us that they tore to the ground. And it's happening now a lot in my neighborhood where they just buy the house for the land and then raise it and then just build fresh on the property.
So you got vehicles everywhere?
Oh, everything. Pouring cement and just it's been nonstop down to the point of another way to sell it. But now the stagers come in. They put fake furniture and stuff in there to make it look good for the open houses and stuff. Three or four trucks just constantly can't get in and out of my drive. It's a nightmare. So Minnie Driver ran into this with a neighbor of hers, and the screaming and fighting got so loud, neighbors called the police. So the cops showed up, and they said it's a matter for the courts, and now everyone's headed to see a judge next week. This isn't the first run-in these two have had, by the way. She had a restraining order against Daniel Perlmutter. His name's Perlmutter.
She wins.
After a land dispute, so there's some bad blood there. But Minnie Driver apparently can dish it out as well as she can take it. So don't get her angry is what I'm saying. That's my advice to you. We should do we haven't done Bad Neighbors in a while.
That's true.
Remember my chanter? Remember my Buddhist chanter?
Oh, yeah. Lord.
Sure. He was a good time. He was a box of chocolates. He was a picnic on the beach. Al, you may not know the story, but I lived in a small house back in the day, and it was a shared driveway. It was sort of in that an area between Beverly and Melrose and Fairfax and La Brea.
Sure.
And there's some homes there, duplexes and things like that. And sometimes you have a shared driveway where, you take your side, they take their side. But then right across from the driveway is the other home. And this guy would, in the summertime, had no air conditioning, would just leave his windows fully open to get the nice breeze. But on a daily basis, he would do an hour, let's say 90 minutes of chanting.
Like prayer?
Om nyam nyam reke, om nyam 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 reke.
Not so zen for you. No.
Om nyam 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 reke, om nyam nyam reke. Hit a gong? He was a chanter with a gong.
That's amazing. That's
the best ever.
Chanter with a gong. Name my new album. I pick, hope you pick it up, by the way. Yeah. And
did
it
you
was...
ever talk to him and say, hey,
well,
tone it down?
Here's the thing. It's obviously the man's religion. I don't want to impinge upon him worshiping Satan or whatever he was doing over there.
I think it's, yeah.
But he could have closed his windows and done that to not disturb the other neighbors.
Right. But I understand maybe he was without air conditioning. That happens. Some of those older homes don't have central air or whatever. Yeah. But the best would be when he would invite his friends over and they would do a big circle.
No.
Yeah. And like I said, it's hard to get mad at the guy. He's not really doing it. It's not like he's blasting, you know, merengue music at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, how do you get mad? It's midday and he's worshiping.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
So you just let it go?
I just sucked it up.
Mm-hmm. Did you ask your neighbor to take care of it?
Then I moved. Yeah, I asked my neighbor to take care of it, and then he ended up dead. So it all worked out. Let me give you something before I get to the birthdays today. It is the Brew Fest coming up this Saturday. Big event at Santa Anita. The good people at Santa Anita have us there from time to time to do the big K-Rock Brew Fest. It's happening this Saturday. Great event. Always fun. You got the beer garden, 40 different local brews this time around, a concert. Gambling, of course. You get a wager on the horses. And don't forget the big Kentucky Derby this Saturday. So they'll be simulcasting that. You can place your wagers on that as well. Infield opens at 11 a.m. First race starts at noon. First live race. Be simulcasting, I'm sure, all over the different tracks as well. Stryker's going to be there. Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Beer Mug, Lightning, Super Steve, Chip. Our own Miss Double December. It's only $5 to get in. But if you'd like to go, let me give you a little something special. How about a four-pack of VIP tickets to the K-Rock Brewfest. This means you and three friends will get beer garden and concert admission, two drink tickets, a racing program and tip sheet, VIP backstage access, and a special wagering area as well. If you'd like to go to the Brewfest this Saturday at Santa Anita, give me a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First call through with that phone number gets a four-pack of VIP tickets for the K-Rock Brewfest.
And ask Muggs for his tips on gambling. He's really good at that.
Yes. So, really, 98% is it?
98%, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Daniel Fishel's 35 years old today. Henry Cavill turns 33. Adele is 28. Chris Brown, 27 years old. And Hannah Davis, lovely and talented model, 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out. The SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. And this afternoon, we all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the movie beat. We're going to talk about all the movies named Captain America Civil War.
Oh, some of those are good.
We also have Mike McGee from the LA Galaxy. We have Ryan Scheckler, and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2016 tomorrow morning.